Amen. We started a new sermon series called All In. There are things in life that we're all in it, right? There's always something in life that we're all in. I like your participation once in a while, right? So talk to me. What are some of those things in life that we're all in? Some things in life that you're like 100% in and you are devoted and committed to it. Can you think of some things out there that people, not maybe you personally, but some people are all in 100%? You know, can you shout it out, some of the stuff that people are all in? Huh? Athletes on the Olympics. Yes, those people are all in, right, on what they're doing. I was watching a documentary. Laura and I were watching a documentary of this kid who, I don't know his name anymore, but he was like, his training to be in the Olympics was like all in. What else? What are some other things that we are all in? Birth? Oh, work. I heard birth, and I was like, you better be all in on that thing. Which reminds me of a story. Laura's going to kill me for this one. We were having, I think it was Anna. We were having Anna. She's like, don't tell it. She's like there and pushing, you know. And then out of the sudden, she's like, I'm done. The nurses and the doctors. And I were like, you're done. Heck no, you're all in. You better start pushing. And that was her. Anyways, that's a bad story. I just brought that up. Work. 100% all in the work. We got to be all in at work. I'm so much trouble. Welcome to my life. What else? Work. Family. Kids. Right? I remember my mom telling me when we first had juniors, she's like, once a parent, always a parent. If it is a day or 100 years old, you are a parent, right? If you had that baby and just brought it home, and then that kid is 100 years old, and if you're still alive, well, you better go talk to God. He's trying to teach you a lesson or two. Family, right? We're all in. Children, family. There are things in life that we are all in. And like, I think of about like Ohio State, right? You guys, like, when it comes to cheering for your team, you're all in. How many of you guys would change Ohio State for Michigan? Whoa. A brave one in the first sermon said, I, and then died stoned. So there are things in life that we're all in. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about that. And today we talk about God's love, how God's love, God is all in. He loves us. And so here's the premises of this sermon series. And when we understand God's love, the more we know God, the more we love him. The more we love God, the closest to him we become. We follow him closely. So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk today about God's love for you and I. Next week, we're going to talk about knowing God. The following week, Trey Green, our next generational pastor, has a great message for God's loving God. I really want you to be here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be sitting on this seat being ministered to by Trey Green, and you should be here. And we're working together in that sermon. Man, I just work with him. I've been impacted by it. And then the last week, we talk about following God, what it means to follow him with this idea of all in. So today, God's love. Next week, knowing God. The following week, loving God. And then the last week of this sermon series, it is following God closely. God's love for you and I. What is it that you know about God's love? I'll tell you a little story. Friday night, we were coming back from Easton. My family, we went there, and we were coming back. It was dark at night, and I was in the car, Laura and I, and the kids. And usually we have music playing, but at that time we didn't. Junior come to me and ask, Dad, how was your week? I was like, dude, it was busy, you know. Dad did this and did that. And ask how he was his week. He was like, it was great. And so he started going, and Caleb shared his stories, and Anna shared her stories. And so we were all having a conversation, and Junior stopped and said, hey, Dad, what are you preaching on Sunday? What is your message on Sunday? Did you study all this week? And I was like, Junior, that's a great question. I mean, I'm going to talk about the love of God, how God loves us. And then I proceeded to say, what do you guys know about God's love? Anna was the first. It's like, oh, I know. So like, tell me, Anna, what do you know about God's love? He will never take his love back, Daddy. He will never take his love back. He loves us. Caleb, he loves us, so he forgives us. And so the words just start rolling out of the kid's mouth, right? I was like, whoa, that's great. I was like, man, we taught these kids well, you know what I'm saying? All those spanking does work. Joking. Well, yeah. Anyways. So then we stopped talking and we were quiet in the car, you know, it was quiet, and Laura was like, Sam, listen. Because, you know, I was like, what? She was like, listen. And then Anna was in the back seat singing, your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. That's wrong lyrics. Your love never, do you remember that song? Higher than the mountains that I face. Well, yeah. You like that? I'm going to be on American Idol, you know, next, so make sure to vote for me. So she starts singing, you know, and she starts saying, your love never fails. And so we all start singing together. Your love never fails and never runs out on me. We got home. She ran upstairs quickly and came down, and she brought me these gems. She's like, Daddy, can you on Sunday morning show the people these gems, Daddy? Can you show them these hearts? And I was like, why, Anna? Daddy, because they remind me of God's love. They remind me of God's love for me. My question for you is, what is it in your life that reminds you of God's love? What is it that in your life that you see that you're like, wow, I am loved. And God, he loves me. For Anna, is these gems, right? And here's reality. Here's the truth, okay? You can't run away from it. God loves you. And he loves you completely. When it comes to loving you, he is all in. All in. The theme for you this morning is this. God doesn't love you when it is convenient to him. No. God doesn't love you because it is convenient to him or when it is convenient to him. No. When it comes to loving you, God is all in. All in. And I love Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, because it reminds us and it brings us to a humble state. This is what it says. David saying, I look at your heavens, which you made with your fingers. I see the moon and the stars, which you have created, God. But why are people even important to you? Why do you take care of human beings? Looking at the magnitude of the universe and all the galaxy, somewhere, somehow, I don't know how, and I don't know why, God, well, I know why, but God looked at all that he has created and he said, I will pour my love into human beings, into that which I have created in my own image. God loves you. He could have chosen many, many stars and the moon and whatever, but he chose to love you. Thursday night, I was helping one of the members of the church here, the Shaw family, and we came out of his house. It was late at night, and we looked at the stars. It was, I don't know if you remember Thursday night skies. It was like this moon was bright. It was about midnight when we were out, and we looked at all the stars and the moon, and there was a little clouds going by it, and we started having a conversation about how beautiful the universe is, how big the universe is, and the stars and the moon, and how bright it was. You could see you could see far, far away how bright Thursday night was. And I was reminding that even though God created all that, he chose to love us. Isn't that comforting to know? Isn't that cool to know? But there are times in life that, like David, we question this idea, does God love me? We all know that love is a risky business, don't we? In one way or another, at one time or another, we all have suffered because we have loved. We all have been shocked to learn something we didn't know before about someone. And we all have been grieved as we discover that another person had some hidden actions or some hidden behaviors. And we are always, limited in our love towards others. Some of us even have asked the question, if I had known that before, would I have still loved her or him? Now that I know this or that, can I still love that person? Here's the thing about our love, the love that we give out. We love people based on an incomplete knowledge, right? We have this incomplete knowledge of someone, and we love what we like about them. What do we think is attractive about that person? That's what we love. So, and if that you have some criteria that we have in order to love someone, if that person meets that criteria, then you have that complete knowledge that you need at that moment in order to apply love to that person. For example, right? I remember when Laura and I started dating, she said the first criteria need to be handsome. She got it. She's shaking her head like, I lost my glasses that night, remember? We love them as far as we know them. Isn't that how it goes, though? I made a joke, but it's so true. We love someone based on what we know of them, but always we admit the risk of love. The risk of love is that that a new knowledge can jeopardize, can damage the strength, the trust, and even the existence of a specific relationship. I've heard many times this being said, I didn't know that she had a life, that kind of life before we got married. If I have known, I didn't know that he had separated bank account. What does that mean? I didn't know of his addiction, if I have known. And the list goes on and on and on. We love people based on our knowledge of them, as far as we know them, as what we love them. And as we get new knowledge of them, that new knowledge can either destroy or strengthen our love for one another. But here's the thing, though. God's knowledge of us is completely different. God's knowledge of us is completely different. It is completely and complete. Where our knowledge of another is limited, where it's built upon little by little and knowing little by little about someone, God's knowledge of us is unlimited by the past, the present, and the future. God knows you. God knows everything that is to know about you. He already knows of our deepest, darkest secret. And He loves us still. And this should bring comfort to us that He knows everything. I like J.I. Packer. See, he quotes this on his book, Knowing God. There is tremendous relief in knowing that His love, God's love, for me is utterly realistic. Based at every point on a prior knowledge of the worst about me. So that no discovery can disillusion Him about me in the way I am so often disillusioned about myself and quench His determination to bless me. See, have you ever done something about yourself that is like, have you ever surprised yourself? It's like, man, I didn't know I was capable of doing or saying such a thing. Have you ever been there? Like often we surprise our own selves. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves completely. But God, He knows everything that there is to know about you. And He still chose to love you. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. I think Paul is really trying to demonstrate God's love for us. And he writes this. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I love that first verse, that part of verse 5. And the part that I like most is the one that I highlighted to you, the word poured. 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 Whatever that word is. It suggests a free flowing of a large quantity. In fact, an inundation. Paul is not talking of a fainted or irregular impressions of love, but an overwhelming, real flow of God's love into our lives. The verb here is in the perfect tense, which implies a settled statement, a complete action. Paul assumes here that all his readers, like himself, will be living in the enjoyment of a strong and abiding sense of God's love to them. It is real. It is true. It should overwhelm us. Great example of that. The other day I was taking a shower, hot shower, you know. I'm Brazilian, like hot shower, like steaming, you know. Out of a sudden, the boys comes with a bucket of cold water. I was like, what in the world? And I'm freaking out, you know, like, what is that? Cold water. I felt the whole thing, right? I felt every single drop of that, and it overwhelmed me. I wanted to spank them and whoever else helped them do it. But I wanted to leave, so. This is what Paul is saying, right? It is a feeling thing. It is real. It is right there. It should overwhelm you. It should be. It's like a bucket of cold water when you're taking a hot shower. It is like right there. It is in you. It's in your face and should impact your life. For while we were still weak, not when you were strong, not when you got it all together, not when you didn't stop messing it up. No, that's not when. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I love that verse. You know why? The word ungodly. Have you thought about this? At one point, you were ungodly. I know we have been on in the church for a little while, accept Jesus and living life like Jesus, but do you know that we were all ungodly at one point of our lives? We all messed up. We all live very sinful lives. It reminds me of my past when I was ungodly. But that's when Christ died for you and I. Right? For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. Would you die for a bad people? No, right? Right? Would you die for a good person? Nah, we're not doing that either. Isn't that true? Paul knows he's being nice here, right? You may die for someone that is good, but in reality, we know that we wouldn't die for anybody, right? But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you're good or bad, I don't know what you think about yourself. Christ still died for you. Something that we wouldn't do for anybody else, not probably not even for ourselves. Christ went there and did it for you. I love the word show there, because the word show, it's like we think of shows, right? You're sitting on TV and you watch something. That is a passive thing. That's the word is not a passive thing. It is not like, oh, look, let me show you. No, that's not the kind of showing that this word means. This word means an action. Show here is an action. This is an act of God. God is love, and love is an action. And God have demonstrated his love by sending Jesus Christ to die for you and I. Next part. Since, therefore, we have now been justified, we have been made righteous, our sins are forgiven, we are good to go with God. By his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. The word saved there, we all think about heaven, right? I talked about this last week. God didn't save you to go to heaven. No, God saved you so that you would have abundant life, and abundant life with him, for you to live on earth right here, right now, with God. And then when you die, you continue to live with God, and God is in heaven. That's where you go. So it's a benefit, right? So we are saved to live godly life right here, right now. We talked for the last four weeks or so about having this blessed life. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary so that you live abundant, blessed life right here, right now, and through eternity. So you have been saved from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Paul's like, listen, there is nothing lacking in your life. God has given you all that you need. You are loved, and God loves you. He, no matter what, he's all in. He didn't love you when it was convenient. He loves you. Love is risky business, but when it comes to loving you, God is all in. He takes no risk in his love because he knows everything about us. He knows all that we have done, all that we are doing, and all that we will do. God knows it. Do you want to prove of that? Psalm 139, verses 1 and 6 says this. Lord, you have examined me and know all about me. This is David, right? You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think of that. Whoops, wait a second. There's no privacy with God. You like that? There is no privacy with God. He knows all you're thinking right now. I love Pastor Sam. I know you're thinking that. See, he told me. He knows your thought. You know where I go, where I lay down. You know everything I do. All these skeletons in your closet, God knows it. Lord, even before I say a word, you already know it. You're all around me, in front, in the back, and have put your hand on me. Your knowledge is amazing to me. It is more that I can understand. And he still loves you. And he still loves you. Ooh. God will never receive new knowledge of us that may cause him to question his determination to call you a children of God, to call you sons and daughter, a friend. No, there's nothing. There's no reason. There's no reason that can come between you and God that will keep God from loving you. No relationship we have will ever be more secure than our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why this is possible? Because God himself, he is love. John tells us that on 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 10 and 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. So knowing God is very important. I hope you're here next week for us to talk about knowing God. Because our actions is determined by how much you know God. So anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It is a definition, is love. In this, the love of God was manifested among us. This is how God showed us. How is demonstrated that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love because he first loved us. While you're enemy of God, while you're a sinner, while you're ungodly, Jesus Christ came to love on you, and he did just that. God's love is an action based on who he is. A relationship with God is like no other relationship you have experienced before. God has this unique kind of love towards you and I. It is called unconditional love. Unconditional love has been defined in so many different ways. Let me tell you what biblical definition of unconditional love is. Not based upon meeting certain conditions. You don't have to meet conditions in order to be loved by God. You don't have to change in order to be loved by God. But God's love for you will change you. Once you accept and once you receive it, and you start to understand who God is, and you start to love God and start to follow Him, your life is going to change completely. But the first step into the love of God doesn't require meeting any condition. God loves you because He loves you. He does not love you based upon your performance. There is nothing you can do to cause God to love you any more than He already does. And there is nothing that will cause God to love you any less. This kind of God love, it is a gracious love. It is a love that is based out of God's grace for you and I. But once you accepted Jesus' love, you never remain the same. And I'm a great story of that. My life has been completely turned upside down in a good way because of God's love. He loves you even more than you love yourself. And that's one of the biggest reality that I have to face every day, is that God loves me and He knows me more than I know myself and I love myself. Here's the problem that most of us in our regular life have experienced: what we call conditional love. Love based upon performance, right? If you do the job well, you get some love. If you participate on the team and you do it well on the team, you get some love. If you're in that relationship and you perform well in that relationship, you're loved and accepted and everything is fine. You start to mess it up, people start kicking your butt out of, right? Isn't that how it goes? Do it right, you're good. Do it bad, boom. Not with God. In opening your life to Christ, you have found a total love and acceptance. That may be hard to comprehend if you have never felt totally loved, accepted by anyone. And I know, I have heard many people tell me, Pastor Sam, I don't feel God's love. And sometimes, because of the circumstances in our lives, we tend to attach those bad things that happen to our lives to God's love. And let me tell you, that's independent of God's love. God loves you. There are times when you find yourself doubting not only His love, but also even His existence. And then we feel like giving up. Let me give you an advice here. Don't give up. There's a new understanding here that we need to have, is that when God gave His life, when God sent His Son, when he gave you a new life, it didn't come trimmed up in lace and smelling like a brand new with perfume, like a Ralph Lauren perfume. No, that's not like, you know, we're used to the Mercedes-Benz commercial, right? That there's a car outside with a bow on top of it. Like, whoa, that's a brand new life. That's not what God gives. It's not a brand new life with a bow on the top of it. It's a life like Jesus, and Jesus began His earthly life in a smelly stable. He tasted real life, and that'll be the flavor of your journey with Christ. There's no magic, just the promise that God would be with you through thick and thin. That when the waters would rise up into your neck, He would pull you a little higher. God says in Jeremiah 31:3 is this: I have loved you with everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am convinced, Paul is telling the Roman church, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, nothing can separate you from God's love. Our faith rests in what God has said about Himself to us, not our own feelings and emotions and perceptions and the circumstances in our lives, what other people say or how people make you feel. We need to stand strong on what the Word of God tells us. And He specifically wants us to believe and to rely on His love for us. Psalm 147, 11 tells this, "The Lord delights in those who fear," the word fear there is reverence, "Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." Psalm 33:18 says this, "The Lord watches over those who fear Him, those who rely on His unfailing love." He wants you to receive it and to rely on God's love. King David, whom God referred to as a man after His own heart, said, "Trust is in God's love." And this is what he says on Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. "I'll sing of your strength in the morning. I'll sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Oh, my strength, I sing praise to you, O God, are my fortress and my living God." This Psalm 59 reminds me of that song we used to sing in the 90s, late 90s and the beginning of 2000. Remember this song? Like, "I could sing of your love forever." Maybe it's out of tune. "I could sing of your love forever, over the mountains and the sea, your love." Remember that song? We ought to sing of God's love forever. The question is, do you see yourself as loved by God? Do you identify yourself as someone loved by God? Do you find your identity in God's love? In your heart of hearts, do you believe that God loves you? Do you find it difficult to comprehend that the God of the universe has positive thoughts towards you, moment by moment, day by day? Do you believe that? Listen, I don't know what you have done. Reality is that God loves you and He wants to transform your life through His love. There's no transformation to life without accepting and receiving, believing in God's love for you. But I know it is hard, and if you don't believe that you're loved, you're not alone on that. Many of us struggle with this concept of this enduring, sacrificial, infinite, and unconditional love of the Father towards you and I. I think this is because we always try to put God's love in our own human terms. Our human relationships have conditioned us to measure God's love towards us by ifs and maybes, as long as or because. I love you if you do 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 do. I love you because do 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 do. Most of us struggle with even imagining that a love without some sort of conditions even exists. Yet God wants us to not only to know that such love exists, but He wants you to rely on Him. He wants you to believe it, and He wants you to receive it. You know why? It is up there. I want you to take this home with you. Write it down if you have to. Love is our identity and our calling, for we are children of love, created from love, of love, and for love. Our existence makes no sense apart of divine love. God loves you. One young lady told me one time that she feels afraid because she's sure that God is mad at her. She thinks God is preoccupied with her sins and shortcomings and views. And views her as with anger and reproach. Do you think she's right? I still can think of a person or two who have approached me saying they don't believe that God takes personal interest in humans. As one among billions of people on the face of the earth, they are sure God is not paying attention to a single individual. They can't believe God would notice them or love them in the midst of so many people and needs in the world out there. Are they right? Listen, I am convinced through the Word of God that God loves each and every one of us with depth, persistent and intensive beyond our imagination, love. God doesn't simply like us. No. Nor God doesn't simply have like this sentiment feelings towards us. I don't think that. I know that God loves us. God loves you and can't help to see you through the lenses of love. Love is our identity. God's love to transform us, it must become the basis of our identity. Our identity is who we experience ourselves to be. The I of us that we carry with us. Who are you? Who are you? Is the first answer that comes to mind is like, I am a loved child of God. Is that what it comes to mind? See, here's the thing, because so many times when someone intimately asks you, who are you? You go all to your failures. I am an addiction. I am, you name it. I don't want to be naming things. It always goes to that. I am a failure. I am this and I am that. But reality is that our identity is found in Jesus. And through Jesus, we are loved. Who do you say you are? Who does people say you are? And the answer should be loved children of God. Because I know we have difficulty in understanding God's love for us, or accepting His love, receiving His love, and applying to our lives. I put it in the weekly there. Okay, you have 10. So your homework for the week is the application for the week, all right? There is in the weekly, you have 10 different verses and statements that identify you, right? So for the next 7 weeks, 7 days, throughout this next week, I want you to every day of the week to say, I am a child of God. And you go read for John chapter 1 and 12 and read what the Word of God says about that. And you just go on and on and on. Expend some time in the Word of God, understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. There is 10. Pastor Sam, the math doesn't work. 7 days in a week, 10, guess what? Double dip a little bit, couple of days here and there. Right? Expend some extra time with God, understanding God's love for you. Worship team, you can come forward. I do believe that the reason why we don't accept the love of God or receive it or believe it is because we don't know it. I, in my own life, I have really struggled to believe at times of these truths myself. I am a type A guy, right? I have this driven personality. I've been in times if I'm not performing well, like achieving the things that I feel like I need to achieve, I feel like God is not loving me or God is not with me. So my experience with thousands of Christians is that we always struggle to some degree or another with believing that God has this unconditional love for us. Many of us think that we need to earn a favor with God in order to be loved by Him. We think, I read the Bible today, I prayed today, so I'm loved today. And then yesterday, tomorrow I fell, and then it's like, scratch that, God stopped loving me. But no matter where you're at, how bad you have blown it, how bad you have messed up, the truth is that God's love for you never fell, never stopped. He doesn't take back. Anna was right. So right. God doesn't take His love back. He loves us. I think sometimes we have forgotten to see the little gems of life that reminds us of God's love for us. Sometimes I think we don't receive and believe it because we're afraid of the change and the transformation that the love will bring to us. Sometimes I think we don't believe it because just it's hard to believe that God would love a wretched person like you and I. But the truth is that it doesn't matter how much you have blown. God's love never fails. And he doesn't love you because it's convenient. God is all in his love for you. Maybe this morning you have blown big time and it's like, God, Sam, I can't believe it. Listen, I know. I want to pray for you. As the worship team is singing, why don't you come forward? I want to pray for you. I have blown up. You have heard me say this all the time. Delaware Christian Church, we are not perfect church. There is no perfect people here. I blow up, you blow up, right? We are all imperfect people, but we have a God who loves and cares for us and forgives us and is ready to give us a second chance. Come pray with me. I love to pray with you so that God's love will overwhelm your life. Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus because you don't believe God can love you. So you go to church and you take this like a halfway approach towards God. But let me tell you, God wants you to be part of his family. So if you don't accept Jesus Christ, come forward. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you need to be baptized this morning and experience God's love through that. I'd love to baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one who created you and who loves you no matter what. Maybe this morning you just need a prayer. Come forward. I'm here. Laura's here. Would love to pray with you. Let me pray. Jesus, it is hard to believe that you could love us. It is hard to believe that wretched people like me can be loved. But the truth is that even when we were your enemies, when we were ungodly, you came and loved on us by dying on the cross of Calvary to forgive us, to restore us, to reconcile us with you, God. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful and humbled by that. In Jesus' name we pray.